This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 23rd, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. Ecuador has taken a hard turn to the left. The nation's president, Rafael Correa, has taken the ideas of Venezuela's Hugo Chavez and will apply them in a new constitution for Ecuador. Gabriela Calderon, editor of ElCato.org, says that 21st century socialism will send Ecuador further away from liberal democracy.
Well, 21st century socialism is sort of a vague concept. It's been behind this concept is its main ideologue. His name is Heinz Dietrich. He's a German that now lives in Mexico, and he's probably Chavez's official intellectual behind his regime's ideas. And basically what 21st century socialism preaches is the erosion of the price system and the establishment of the, I guess we would call it in English, the time value system. That is, Mr. Dietrich's example is that the guy that picks up trash, if it takes him 2 hours, he should be paid the same amount that a brain surgeon takes to perform a two-hour surgery, because it takes the same amount of time. And this basically removes subjective preferences of each individual towards different goods and services.
Ecuador's new president has taken this idea to heart, presumably. He seems to be trying to be the next Hugo Chavez.
Well, there is no evidence to think the opposite. He has, it seems like a carbon copy of what has happened in Venezuela. And the only difference is that it has been happening at a much accelerated pace. And right now, Rafael Correa managed to get more than 70 seats in the Constituent Assembly that will write Ecuador's new constitution. This is the same thing that happened in Venezuela. The reason that this was able to happen was because when the referendum was held to ask the Ecuadorians whether or not they wanted to have a Constituent Assembly to write a new constitution, an electoral law that was not debated in Congress and that was written mainly by Rafael Correa's party was annexed to the yes vote. And most people voted yes because of the president's popularity, but they had no idea that they were actually approving a new electoral law. And they didn't really understand, or they didn't seem to care that they were granting absolute powers to a body that is not going to be checked by the Constitutional Tribunal or any other body within the Republic of Ecuador.
It's understandable in some countries that a major shock to the system might lead people to approve unchecked powers, but in Ecuador, there really wasn't that.
Well, there has been a progressive erosion of basic democratic institutions since the 80s, I would say, and it's gotten to a point where you almost have to think that politicians in Ecuador don't lack imagination, because everything that has happened this year, it's not a novelty. I mean, constitutional violations in Ecuador are not a novelty. What is new is how people are applauding it and how people seem to be okay with the fact that the entire opposition in Congress was fired in one day by an electoral tribunal that is obviously subservient to the government's purposes. And people also seem to be okay with the fact that the tribunal constitutional was beheaded, in a figurative way of saying it, and replaced with people that are also subservient to the purposes of the government. People also seem to be okay with the fact that the last elections to elect the representatives to the Constituent Assembly was ruled by a statute that was written by the government's party. And this goes against basic division of powers in a democratic, a liberal democracy, basically. Because, I mean, in Ecuador right now, we're debating whether or not representative democracy is the way to go. So people want to have this extreme form of democracy where the media is democratized, which basically means that it is nationalized, because the president thinks that every Ecuadorian, every 13 million or so Ecuadorians, should have equal space in the media, even if you're not a journalist, or even if you're not prepared, or even if there's not a market for people to listen to you. So this basically means that in Ecuador, we're having to defend basic principles such as freedom of the press, because the government's party thinks that freedom of expression is harmed by freedom of the press, which is very hard to imagine that in the 21st century we have to be explaining why this is not so. We also have to debate why Cuba is not a democracy. People in Ecuador are considering that Cuba is a democracy. And despite the fact that they have one party government and they have had it for the past 48 years, it seems pretty hard to explain to people what to us. And I mean, I'm an Ecuadorian, but I've lived in the US and studied here, and it seems clear as water that that is not democracy.
Hugo Chavez has this ready supply of vast wealth that he can pull out of the ground in the form of oil, and that would make it seem more likely that his government can at least maintain the facade that they're going, it's a healthy economy. What does Ecuador have to allow this type of nationalization to continue?
Well, there was a writer in Ecuador that wrote a funny op-ed that was titled, "What More Can You Nationalize?" Because we have an economy where the entire wealth that's underground is property of the state. Granted, we allow different foreign companies to come and exploit them under certain concessionary contracts, but it's still controlled by the state. And it is ridden with corruption, and we have an economy that has many state enterprises still, and most of the companies that have been privatized, they have been converted from public monopolies into private monopolies, in which sense it's not very much different, because they still have this sort of mercantilist relationship with the politicians. And the problem is that Ecuador's economy is not nearly as resistant as the Venezuelan economy was in 1998. We're starting from a much lower point. So if there is going to be a collapse because of all these wrong-headed policies, then it probably will come much sooner. And it probably will be more drastic. We had a crisis in 1999, and the country only recovered probably by 2004, much because of our dollarization policy in the year 2000. But the government didn't do anything else. So in spite of the fact that we didn't do anything else to reform the economy, we bounced back due to external favorable conditions, such as commodity prices, and also because of the stability granted by dollarization. But we're still not in a position to have a good economic situation, and actually investments have already stalled, and some companies are already leaving the country because just last week Rafael Correa issued a decree. Oh, he loves decrees. Most of the things that are now being done are done by decree, and he issued a decree saying that 99% of windfall profits, oil windfall profits, are going to go to the state. And so this is going to scare many of the remaining foreign oil companies that we have in our country. And it's kind of like shooting yourself on the foot, because they are the biggest taxpayers in Ecuador, and they will most likely not stay or not think about investing more.
Gabriela Calderon is editor of elcato.org. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. You can learn more about Ecuador and Venezuela at our Spanish language website, elcato.org.